We always want more insight on this stuff. I'm always fascinated by the Open. I love it. I love watching the Open. I hate seeing trees. I love seeing players get stuck in craters and try to get out of them. That's why I think it's probably my favorite of all the majors. So we needed more information. So we turned to Hughes Norton, former agent, writer as well, rainmaker. You've got all kinds of books from him. And, of course, he was Tiger Woods' former agent and talking about the Live and Beyond and all kinds of great stuff. So Hughes right now is on the Fan Hotline. How are you, Hughes? How are you? Thanks for joining us today.
Doing great. Baskin and Phelps, the place to be.
Very That's nice of you to say, Hughes. It's good to have you back.
You know, I think I'd like to be in Scotland like Dan Menigan should have been. I didn't realize it until I heard you guys talking on the phone.
Ireland.
What'd I say?
Scotland.
Scotland.
Oh, it was originally in Scotland. What am I thinking? Sorry about that.
Understandable, though, that you would say that, Andy, because Royal Portrush, the site this week, is the only course outside of Scotland and England where the British Open has ever been held.
Hmm. You know the weird thing to me about that, Hughes?
Yeah.
I didn't know this, but I was checking, all right, how long's it been? 2019. And before then, 1951, what happened?
Well, it's interesting. You know, all of the political troubles between Northern and Southern Ireland, or specifically their Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland, as the two countries are called, prohibited the RNA, Royal and Ancient, from going back there. They could have, I suppose, but it is pretty weird. Some guy named Max Faulkner, a Brit, won in 1951 before the Open Championship really meant anything to the rest of the world. And 68 years later, they come back to Ireland, and what happens? An Irish guy, Shane Lowry, wins in his home country. How cool is that?
Yeah, it was cool.
Of the majors, where does this rank for you?
I love Augusta. I think we all do. It's so special, and it's so familiar to all of us. Unlike the other majors, which move around from year to year, you're not as familiar with the golf course. But there's something about the Open Championship, guys. It's just, to me, it's sort of like the British Open is as it always was. You kind of almost stepping back in time. I sent a couple of those shots to that Dan saw. I'm sure he shared them with you guys. You just do not see vistas and looks with dunes and crazy bunkers and the wind blowing in the Atlantic Ocean. I mean, it's so special and so different. It's right up there for me as my co-favorite.
Hughes, I love watching it because of exactly what you just laid out. Do players who don't play this type of a course very often enjoy it? Do they think it's a great challenge? Or do they think, oh my God, I have to go play because it's a major, but I hate this?
It kind of is a process, Jeff, and what happens, Tom Watson was a classic example. He goes over there the first time. He couldn't tell a Lynx course from Lynx sausage. And he takes a look, and all the fairways are brown and sort of dull. The ball rolls for 100 yards. The bunkers are small and incredibly deep. There's fescue and gorse that swallows up golf balls whole. The wind's bending flagpoles in half. And they say, let me out of here. But it grows on you, and I think especially for the great players, because you know what? They have to learn all over again how to hit shots. American golf, let's face it, has become bomb and gouge. Hit it as far as you can. Doesn't matter where it goes. You can dig it out of the rough, knock a wedge on the green. Doesn't work in Britain. Rory McIlroy said this week in the press conference, it's really interesting. He said, the interesting part about Portrush to him, unlike the other British Open venues, he said, usually there's bunkers in a particular landing area so we can plan our way, intelligently off the tee. He said, here, there's bunkers all over the place. So we've either got to lay up way short or really take a chance and try to carry over the bunkers because they're along the sides of the fairway, not just in the middle in the landing area.
Hughes, I think the other thing that makes this unique, and I started looking at the weather, Thursday, high of 66, Friday, high of 64, Saturday's high of 62, Sunday, high of 63, and I see rain for all 4 days. How's that going to affect things?
Yeah, that's part and parcel of the Open Championship every year. You expect rain, and it's such a dice roll in terms of your starting time. Everybody knows this, I'm sure, but on Thursday and Friday, you either play early and then late, or you play late on Thursday, early Friday. And British Opens have been won and lost by horrible pairings. That's no one's fault, except the weather is terrible for one side of the draw, and it's balmy and much easier for the other side. So I think the conditions are going to be all over the place. And again, that's what we like to see. We like to see somebody try to hit it into a, you know, a wind in their face of 25, 30 miles an hour. What do you do with that?
Hughes, there's one thing about the timing of all of this that I must tell you, I'm still trying to wrap my head around. When they moved the PGA Championship way up, I thought, man, I hope that doesn't affect me and my joy of this stuff, but it has, because this is the last major of the season, and here it's only mid-July. And
Could not agree with you more, Jeff. Could not agree more. And, of course, they're trying to sell it now as the FedEx Cup playoffs, which, quite frankly, I've never had a golf fan ever in my life say to me, boy, how about the FedEx Cup standings? I can't wait till the second playoff event. I mean, it's garbage. Put the PGA back where it belongs. Not to mention the fact that moving it to May, you know, the last couple of years, you've seen this, it was in Rochester in May. It was like 49 degrees when they teed off.
I guess I understand why they're trying to do those things. It just, to me, I love seeing it spread out throughout a further portion of the year, because I enjoy the game so much and I enjoy watching the majors. This one's always fun to watch. And personal for me, truly the most disappointing moment I've ever had as a sports fan was when Tom Watson didn't win at the age of what? He was 57 and he had a chance to become the oldest major winner ever, and Stewart Cink beat him in a playoff.
And you remember that on the 72nd hole, Jeff, he knocks his second shot right in the middle of the green, and for some weird reason it rolled and rolled and rolled and kept going off the back. He couldn't get it up and down, and then he loses the playoff. The whole world was cheering for that guy.
My wife was stunned. I said, I'm sorry, I've never been this depressed in my life about a sporting event. It was like 3 or 4 days before I wasn't depressed anymore. But it's fun to me how this guy embraced the Open, and other Americans have as well. And it's just so fun, maybe more than anything other than maybe the Masters, to sit back and just watch it, Hughes, because of the type of golf that you described. I think it's an awesome television event.
I'll go further, guys. Everything that is great about golf, to me, is embodied by Lynx Golf at the British Open.
I like that.
I think one of the other reasons I like this, too, is you can kind of, you're looking at different champions every year since what? Tiger and Patrick Harrington, I think we've had a different winner every year since then.
It's sort of in honor of Ireland, guys. I had almost forgotten this too, but in the last 18 years, 5 Irish players have won British Opens. You know, and that's a tiny little country competing with the guys from Scotland, the guys from England, obviously the Americans. But you had Patrick Harrington. You had Darren Clark, Rory McIlroy, Harrington won 2, of course, and then last year Shane Lowry. So pretty good for the Irish boys.
Yeah, let's not forget about Ben O'Curtis, too, in 03 in St. George's.
Absolutely.
I'm always blown away when we see Ben around here, too, and I'm just like, man, that guy won the Open. You know, and he's just such a regular guy.
I happened to run into him about a month ago. I thought the same thing.
Do you think people realize how special that is to have Ben living here and knowing that he won this amazing, prestigious tournament?
You know, with recency bias, I mean, you know how it is, guys. Everyone forgets.
Yeah.
I mean, if I recall, I think he was something like 1,000-1. Yeah. Can you imagine putting a little bit down on that guy to win the Open Championship?
I don't even know if Herb Page would have done that. You never know. One thing that's going on, and I always love your perspective on the PGA and LIV. The LIV guys are again applying for world ranking points. And if that happens, if they get that, does that completely give them credibility and make it even more so, Hughes, that this is going to be something that's going to be around for a long time? Or where would that fit if they get it? Because so far they haven't.
So far, they haven't, you know, because there's no ability to get onto that tour like there are on other tours around the world. So the official world rankings board has said, listen, it's a closed shop, you know, not to mention it's only 54 holes instead of 72, not to mention that it's team play, which is confusing with the individual. So that's the reasons they've rejected it. And who knows what this new application, you know, they have a new leader now that Norman's gone. So who knows if it'll succeed. But I actually think it's incredibly meaningful, Jeff, in this sense. If they were to get recognition of and earn some world ranking points, now you're going to eliminate the barrier that has stopped young players from going to live. If you're the top college player in the world right now and you have a chance and you're aspiring to win major championships and really become a great player, you kind of are hesitant because once you go there, you're not going to be able to qualify for the majors anywhere near as easily as if you play well on this tour. So I think what it might do is open the floodgates and more kids or veterans or whomever that the LIV Tour has kind of stopped recruiting right now, maybe they'll go full bore again and go after them. And right now it appears both tours are going their separate ways. There's not much talk about getting back together anymore.
How does a guy go from LIV back to PGA?
Well, you basically, again, that's the big question. Yeah. You know, to me, if you could, if you're the PGA Tour commissioner, the one thing you want to set your sights on, to me, is getting DeChambeau back. He's an incredibly popular, whether it's because of his YouTube stuff or whatever, but he's personable, he's great looking, hits the ball a long way. I mean, he's a star. So let's say he wanted to come back. Now you've got a bunch of PGA Tour players that are saying, no chance.
Yeah,
we're not letting this guy. He deserted us. He's got to pay a huge fine, or he's got to sit out for 2 years, or who knows what they're going to say. Some of the brighter players, like Rory McIlroy, who initially was violently against the LIV Tour, has recently said, look, if getting DeChambeau and Rahm back here improves our tour, we have to do it. You know, there's no point being mad anymore. These guys made their decision. Let's figure out a way to get back together.
How are the books doing, my friend? How are the books?
Books are doing great, guys. Thanks for asking. Mm-hmm. Rainmaker came out in paperback a couple of months ago, and that's doing well. I'm still doing appearances sort of around the country. I think I've done 12 of them at different country clubs where I go and speak to the members and do a Q&A and sign books for everybody. It's been fun.
Anytime awesome. Soon here in Northeast Ohio, we can get some. We need to set you up with one.
Yep, I'd love to. I did one at Canterbury last fall for the high school kids. They do an annual banquet every year, and that was fun. And although talking to the high school kids about Curtis Strange and Nancy Lopez, they look at you like what?
we were just out at that course a couple weeks. That course is so incredible. Like you want to talk about great gems in Northeast Ohio, I think. You know, most players know that, but I'm not sure that a lot of people realize that, like, when you're driving by on Chagrin, and it's right over there, that is one of the greatest courses.
And sadly, what's happened there to so many other great old courses in America is it's out of space now. You know, big tournaments, which a Canterbury clearly deserves. They had the PGA and
LPGA too for a while there, right?
Yeah. And yeah. But there's the infrastructure now, you guys know this, is so demanding and so huge, not to mention their range. Nobody could hit balls on their range anymore
because
they'd fire them over the fence into the whatever that is, the 15th fairway out there. So things that used to work don't work anymore. It's almost gotten to the point where you need a second 18, you know, like an Oak Hill in Rochester. They put all the infrastructure of a major championship over there, hospitality and all that stuff, and parking, and then they play on the other course. And if you don't have that room, none of the majors want to talk to you.
Any chance PGA comes back here? I don't know. Firestone just doesn't. It doesn't feel like it's going to happen again. But is there any chance? Is Firestone the only place that could really hold it?
You know, I think so. Again, because of space. You know, I think a Sand Ridge has enough space, maybe. Hmm. But whether they'd ever be interested, it's certainly a challenging Fazio course. It's pretty good. But sadly for, you know, Northern Ohio golf fans, we kind of got robbed. I mean, we deserve it.
We did. Hughes, thank you. Good luck with the books. Anyone wants more information on the books, check your local listings. Best place to get them at?
Absolutely, guys. Hey, we'll, sadly, Jeff, we should be talking in about, you know, 3 or 4 weeks about the upcoming PGA Championship, but that's gone until next year.
Maybe we'll do a mythical one. Or we'll talk about FedEx something or another. Who knows? Hughes, thank you. We appreciate you.
Awesome as always, Hughes.
You guys, thanks.
All right, we'll talk to you soon.